Hey, you guys, welcome back to Tomes of Terror. Got another kind of disturbing one for you today. So, back in, I believe it was early 2020, it seemed like this book by an author called Samantha Kolesnik, her debut novella, True Crime, was everywhere. It got like a huge amount of buzz in the horror community. And even though I have to say I successfully avoided like seeing any synopses or any reviews of it prior to reading the novel for myself, it was hard to avoid seeing its quite awesome cover, by the way, popping up in YouTube thumbnails and in horror book review groups that I subscribe to and things like that on multiple social platforms. So because of all the hype, I had been wanting to read it for ages. So I was pretty stoked when I saw it come up on Kindle Unlimited to read for free. Now, it's not long. It's actually, I guess technically it would be classified as a novella. I think it's only about 143 pages long. So it pretty much only took me like a single afternoon to read it. Now, I should note too that the author, Samantha Kolesnik, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. I was like listening to Brian Keene's podcast with her on it to make sure I got her name right, because I hate like when people like, I hate like mispronouncing people's names. So I try not to, and I'm sure I've done it like lots of times, but I try not to because, you know, that's just one of my things. But yeah, so I guess she kind of started out. This is her first novella, and I think she's written another one since then, like another novel called Waif. But prior to that, she was kind of actually more known as like a film director. Like she directed shorts, and I think she's one of the people that did like the Women in Horror like film festival and stuff like that. So she's kind of been around, and she's like written screenplays and stuff like that. But this is actually her first novella, and it made like a huge splash like in the horror community when it came out back in early 2020. Of all the reviews that I've read of it, subsequently, like after I've read it, comparisons to Jack Ketchum's The Girl Next Door, as well as Survivor by JF Gonzalez, are pretty ubiquitous. Like, pretty much every review, including this one now, mention those comparisons. I've also seen a few reviewers compare it to the movie Natural Born Killers, at least in the book's first act. These analogs are, I will say, like all pretty accurate, but true crime kind of has a lot more going on than that. It's like slightly different. It's got a slightly different take on things, but that's kind of in the ballpark, you know what I mean? So if you're kind of like not down with that kind of stuff, then maybe you wouldn't like this either. But I'm just kind of giving that like as a heads up to say, hey, you know, if you were like really like traumatized by The Girl Next Door, like pretty much everybody, then this is along those same lines, you know what I mean? So yeah, so just a heads up, it's like, you know, trigger warning, whatever the hell you want to call it. I wouldn't call it extreme horror exactly, but it is very grim, very bleak, kind of nihilistic. It's kind of intense. It's very disturbing. So if you're really not down with reading pretty realistic depictions of like cold-blooded murder, animal cruelty, there's kind of quite a bit of animal cruelty in this, and also horrific sexual abuse targeted towards children, teenagers, as well as essentially spending the entire story inside the head of a sociopath, then you might want to give it a pass, because there are some kind of things that take place in here, some scenes in here that you probably wouldn't want hanging out in your brain from now on. It is a brilliant book, I will say that, but it is not a fun time, in other words. So just know what you're getting into. Like I said, it's beautifully written, it's very affecting, but it's not the kind of book that you like enjoy necessarily. Like I said, it's not really a good time. So just know that going into it. So at the beginning of the story, we meet our main protagonist, a teenage girl named Susie. And she lives in this tiny little shithole of a town with her mother, who's only ever referred to as Mama, and her older brother, Lim. I'm not entirely sure if they say like exactly how old these two are, but I'm assuming they both live at home and they both seem like they're still teenagers. Now, Susie, at first, you know, the first part of the book, is very obsessed with this magazine called True Crime, which is kind of like the old school, kind of like True Crime magazines used to be. And from the first few paragraphs of this book, the reader is made very aware that something is the matter with Susie, like that there's something kind of like off about her, particularly in regards to the way that she reacts to like some of the victims of the photos in her magazines. Like she seems to have like an obsessive kind of fixation on the images of the female victims, like in the magazine, and seems to kind of perceive women's bodies in that sense as objects in a particular way. And she does seem to get a little bit of a sexual charge from it. You know what I mean? It's not overt, but that's kind of like the impression that you get. Now, not long after this, we learn exactly why Susie is the way she is. Since she can remember, she has been subjected to pretty appalling sexual abuse at the hands of her mother, who pretty much not only personally assaults her daughter, like, on a regular basis, but also recruits her boyfriends to do the same. Like, so she essentially pimps her daughter out, and she also kind of, like, makes weird little things, like making her brother, like, look at her boobs and shit like that. It's, like, it's fucked up, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. It's fucked up. So Susie, in her entire life, has never experienced love or compassion. She's only ever been used and violated. And so that's pretty much literally the only experience that she's ever had of the world and the people in it. Now, she does think of her older brother Lim as her protector, which he technically is. Although Lim as a person almost kind of seems like a blank slate. It seems as though he is someone who, because he is, you know, involved in the same situation, obviously, and you're led to believe that he has been abused as well. So his kind of way of dealing with it seems, is to completely disconnect from all of his emotions, other than rage, perhaps, in order to cope with what's going on. Or it's, you know, it could be that he never had those emotions in the first place, you know, so it could be either one of those things. But his instincts toward his sister do appear to be those of, like, of a fierce guardian type of thing. And he will basically, you know, maim or kill anyone who simply looks at her or talks about her the wrong way. Now, Susie makes it pretty clear on several occasions during the narrative that she admires her brother a great deal. One, because everyone is terrified of him, because he's really, really scary. And two, because he almost seems invincible, like she perceives him as invincible, which I guess would be a common thing for, you know, a brother-sister kind of dynamic in this way, like in growing up in this abusive household. Like, I'm assuming that that's kind of how you would perceive your older brother. Now, during one particularly distressing session of abuse at the hands of her mother, Susie finally snaps and beats the woman to death, after which Lim suggests that they set the house on fire and skip town. Now, it should be mentioned here that at some point in the recent past, Mama had kidnapped a young girl named Alice and kept her chained in the basement. Now, Susie, who had sometimes, I guess, been comforted by talking to the captive Alice, like through this air vent in her room, briefly considers rescuing the kid from the flames, but then shrugs that impulse off, and so her and Lim simply leave Alice there to burn to death with really nothing but the barest twinge of regret. So as should be apparent from that last sentence that I just said, Susie as a character is frighteningly sociopathic, but the thing that makes her terrifying is that she isn't portrayed the way sociopaths are often portrayed in fiction. That's why I kind of think that comparisons of this book, like, to Natural Born Killers are maybe a little bit off the mark. Like, you know, in Natural Born Killers, Mickey and Mallory seem to kind of, like, revel in their cruelty and their sociopathy, and they're represented that way in the movie because the movie was trying to make a statement about how the media sometimes tends to romanticize or glamorize people like that to some extent. Susie, on the other hand, is kind of a different kind of animal altogether. She doesn't necessarily seem to enjoy violence in the strictest definition of the word. More in line with a true sociopath, I think. She doesn't really seem to enjoy much of anything. since all of her emotions, it seemed, have been kind of like dulled down and numbed by years of traumatic abuse. She's basically like a hollow shell of a person who sees other human beings, particularly women, as things. They're just a collection of parts to be used as needed and discarded. And it's obvious, too, that she thinks of herself in this same way. She sometimes contemplates like cutting off her breasts or like scooping out her own genitalia. She doesn't really seem to have any fear of physical pain for herself or death for herself. She just seems almost just very cold, like a little bit indifferent. Like I said, as you would be like somebody that had experienced what she experienced. Now she, like, she'll occasionally comment, for example, that she finds a woman beautiful, but in a way that makes her want to take that woman apart and see what's inside. You know what I mean? She also seems to have really no use for men in general, except for her brother. She pretty much perceives them all as predators that can be, again, like, used and killed as necessary. So after Susie and Lim, like, flee their home after burning it down, they're on the run for a bit, going on something of, like, a mini killing spree. Now, although, again, many people compared this segment of the book to Natural Born Killers, the tone isn't really the same at all. Yes, they do kill people, usually for, this is going to sound, like, weird, but usually for kind of, like, practical reasons, at least at first. Like, they need to steal money, or they need to steal a car, or they need a place to stay, or something like that. Now, occasionally, they do indulge in what seems to be a murderous whim, but they aren't exactly, like, partying about it, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, if you think of, you know, like, in other words, these aren't like these kind of gleefully vicious, like, Rob Zombie characters. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like Baby from, you know, like House of a Thousand Corpses or, you know, Devil's Rejects or anything like that, where they're having like a good time and they're like obviously like reveling in their monstrosity, I guess. Honestly, I think that's what makes Lim and Susie in this book like even more disturbing. They know that they're monsters. They know what they're doing is bad, but they're so dispassionate. They're kind of killing more in a, hey, wouldn't it be interesting if we ran this woman over, like, after we steal her car? Like, for no reason, really. They didn't have to. They were just interested. Or mainly, Susie was just interested to see what would happen. And then, like, after they do it, she's just kind of like, huh. And then that's kind of, like, all she thinks about it. Like, she doesn't really think about it that much anymore. So it's just kind of, like, to me, that's, like, what makes it scarier, because it seems, like, a lot more realistic. I mean, obviously, I'm not a sociopath, but I can imagine that this is realistically, like, what goes on in their heads. So I think their aloofness about all of these situations, it what makes the whole thing seem a lot more genuine, a lot more realistic, and hence a lot more troubling. And I'll note here, too, that the whole, kind of the whole entire tenor or the whole entire mood of the book is also somewhat muted as well in its impact. Like, a lot of disturbing shit happens in the book, but it's almost kind of like some very ghastly things that happen in the book almost seem to be kind of glided over with very little fanfare. Like, you know what I said, like, where they just ran over this woman and they were just kind of like, oh, well, you know, that's what happened. You know what I mean? But I kind of feel like that's to be expected, because we're seeing things through Susie's eyes. We're seeing things that's like, you know, first person, it's from her POV, and that's how she sees the world. So that's kind of how it's going to come across in the book as well. Now, Lim and Susie's flight doesn't actually last all that long, however, because something happens that ends up landing Lim in prison. And after that, we jump ahead 2 years. Now, Susie, who was perceived to have been kind of dragged along on Lim's escapades against her will, has actually been placed in with kind of an understanding, I'm assuming like a foster couple or somebody that's, you know, taking care of her and like mentoring her and stuff. And she does seem to be receiving, or had received in the past, some kind of rudimentary mental health care. So it's here, I think, where the story got even more compelling for me, because it starts to kind of explore some more uncomfortable questions about people like Susie. Like, was she born the way she was and then the abuse just exaggerated what was already there? Or did the abuse alone mold her into the monster that she subsequently became? Can she be helped? Can she be taught to be normal, like if she's around people who are genuinely compassionate and genuinely trying to help her? So the answers that the book give, they don't really give any answers because it's, I mean, it's just very equivocal. But this part of the book is also actually like really tragic because not only has Susie's horrible, horrible childhood taken away like any sense of right and wrong that she may once have possessed, but it's also made her distrustful of everyone and unable to understand or deal with anyone showing her kindness. She always thinks that everyone is out to get her, and that if you're showing her kindness, it must be like a way to get at her, like a way to fuck her over somehow, because that's all she's ever experienced. She's so used to being victimized that she sees everyone as victimizers of one sort or another. And it's kind of hinted in the book that this very effect of her lingering trauma may pretty much doom her forever. Like, there's maybe nothing that can be fixed, you know what I'm saying? So, as I mentioned earlier, this is absolutely not a fun read at all, so it's just not like, hey, I'm gonna, like, lay on the beach and read this on vacation or something like that. It's nothing like that, but it is a very harrowing read, and it's very provocative, and I kind of feel like that's because it deals more realistically with a murderer who was seemingly made that by her horrific circumstances, and it also kind of explores the way one person's trauma can sort of, like, metastasize to a point where it's affecting society at large, or at least like the small bit of society that's just like in her immediate vicinity. You don't condone Susie's actions, of course, but because you as a reader are kind of privy to what she went through as a child or can imagine it, and you know her inner thoughts since the narrative is told from her perspective, you can actually sympathize with her to some degree. And you can also despair at how her past actually ended up shaping these thought and behavior patterns to the detriment of everyone around her. Like, it made, like, society made her a monster, and she seems like kind of aware of it, but she also doesn't really seem to know any other way to be, because that's the only thing that she's ever experienced, like I said. And also, I think it's tragic too, because she does seem to have some very, very embryonic notions of human empathy. Like, she's not a complete cold-blooded monster. Like, she does seem to have twinges of guilt or twinges of maybe I shouldn't do that or something like that. So you do actually, as it goes on, you do kind of start to root for her, like, to, you know, kind of hope that she'll be able to overcome this corrupted nature, you know what I mean? But I, you know, the book doesn't really seem to pull any punches in that regard. It seems to imply that it's maybe too late for her, that maybe she's too far gone, like, to be redeemed, which I kind of feel like makes the story not only frightening, but it's also, like, kind of heartbreaking as well. So I'm going to say, if you like the work of Jack Ketchum in particular, and maybe are looking for something that is, again, not a fun time, but something that kind of delves into some really dark corners concerning the larger consequences of trauma, and literally puts you into the very unpleasant headspace of a sociopath without any kind of sentimentality or embellishment or glamorization or anything like that, then I would definitely recommend True Crime. It's a pretty stunning debut novella, I have to say. And the author, this is definitely someone that I'll be keeping an eye on in the future. So if you've read it, let me know what you thought about it in the comments. And that will do it for this episode of Tomes of Terror. And I will see you guys again on the next one. Bye.